Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Oh yeah, welcome to episode 137 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth, where we talk about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, and also a lot of other things. Remember, PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. So for anybody else that's coming into this chat like they did last time, wondering, oh my goodness, what an awful word. Well, it's an acronym, and there's a reason why it is. All right, so this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, get all your preparedness needs squared over there. And remember, I mean, look at the world around you right now. I mean, it might be a good time to consider going over there for all the things you can't necessarily source yourself. All right, remember, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And if you would like to tip a pimp, check us out in the Fountain app, where you can listen to all your podcasts over there, and you can triple up the speed if you so desire. But if you also want to, you know, tip us in the form of Satoshis, whatever they call them things, they're SATs. So anyway, if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, check us out on the Fountain app. So as always, man, great to be here. Long weekend. Actually, it's been a long bunch of weekends because I've been spending a lot of time going to different festivals and doing a lot of good stuff. Hung out with the Texas boys, got to actually hang. Oh, yep, they're in the chat.
Yeah.
I got to hang out with them. Man, they were so gracious, had me over for dinner the night before. And I wish I could have hung out with them the following day, but I had some other obligations I had to get knocked out.
Was it the whole family that came?
Well, I think it was just the boys.
Oh,
okay. So it literally was the Texas boys. I mean, it was just the male portion of the family. Yeah. But man, it was really great to hang out with them. And man, it was a good time. Got to hang out with Bear Independent too. And man, that guy, man, he thinks. And I got to spend a lot of time talking to Bear. And man, even in today's Bear brief that he did on YouTube, he actually brought up one of the little things that he and I were talking about concerning some of the stuff that's going on in the Middle East. And he has a pretty interesting take on the Gog-Magog war, you know, Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38. And then he goes into a little bit of 39, where in Ezekiel chapter 8, 38, it says, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal." And it's been a big debate for the longest time as to what exactly that means. And a lot of people are wondering, is that what we see unfolding right now in the Middle East? Anyway, I would highly recommend everybody go over there, check out Bear Independent, and listen to his take on it. I mean, he explained it before it even went out yesterday. He and I were talking at that festival, and I'll get to that in a minute. And in fact, y'all, you want to be tuning in right now, because I'm going to lay myself bare, forgive the pun, I'm going to lay myself bare regarding some of the things I discovered about myself this weekend. And they were things I'd already known, but it was this festival that brought it out. And I think it's going to be a great blessing to all of you out there. But yeah, I want to give a big shout out to the Texas boys. Also the Fearless Podcast. I got it right this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those guys, man, they did not disappoint. His oldest son, Matt, gave a speech out there, and I got to do a video that should be well, the thumbnail ought to be quite comical. I haven't even shown you.
No, you haven't shown me anything.
Yeah.
Yet.
So, yeah, folks, you're going to want to see that video. Yeah. So they were great to hang out with, and all the other people that were out there too. I want to give a shout out to, by the way, everybody in the chat tonight. Remember, we're doing this live. So, hey, want to thank everybody out there. If you're coming in, if you're checking it out, please hit that like or thumbs up button.
Yeah.
Tells everybody out there that we've gone live. So, Mountain Readiness. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the main topic. I could get into it right now, but man, there's really some stuff that really folks you ought to know about. Okay, so other things going on right here at the homestead or the farmstead. Well,
real quick, talking about the going live, since the last live stream, I got signed out of everything. On the as far as PimpCast goes, I got signed out of the YouTube channel. I got signed out of the Gmail. I got signed out of the YouTube studio. I had to reset the password, all of that. That was brand new.
Okay, folks, I'm just finding that out myself, and I'll tell you what else has been happening. I was out there. In fact, I was out there hanging out with TD and them eating burgers at their Airbnb that night. When I got back, I got to the hotel, and I was tired and everything. And then I was kind of going through my email.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's still in there because I'm having wacky stuff go on with my email ever since we talked about that little incident that happened in 1967 or 68. I can't remember which. Anyway, weird things have been happening ever since. But here's the crazy part. I get back and there's a lady that wrote a email giving me a heads up that somebody is writing on the channels of, and she actually cited what this was, saying, hey, you need to stay away from Billy at Permapastures Farm. He's doing all kinds of hate. He's spreading hate out there. And I'm like, okay, let me go check this out.
Yeah.
And now I was tired when I first got there. And typically I know that there's always going to be comments out there. There's going to be naysayers. There are going to be bots, trolls, whatever the case may be. And I usually suffer idiots quite well, but I don't know what it was, but man, that got to me. It really did. Because I'm like, okay, well, it wasn't just there. It was a bunch of other YouTube channels that I've had associations with or whatever the case may be. And it's like been a full court press.
Where they were commenting?
Yeah.
Was it a lot of people or was it just one person?
I'm not sure. And in fact, I'm not even 100% sure it's a person. And it doesn't really even matter these days. But all of a sudden, all these YouTube channels are getting, I don't know if it's a cadre of people or whatever the case may be, saying, you need to stay far away from this guy. He's preaching hate. And I wrote on there, okay, cite one time I've ever espoused hate.
Yeah, since when is it hateful to say, hey, y'all, let's stop killing each other?
Yeah.
Well, how is that preaching hate?
It depends on who you're talking about. And, you know, it was one of those things. So I'm like, okay, well, you had that going. And folks, I did not even know about that until now. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting it on my end. This is, folks, I could tell you stories about how even back when I was doing talk radio, there was a lot of electronic crap that I had to deal with even back then. And that was back then.
Yeah. And that was just on Facebook too, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, man, you would not believe the attacks that would happen. And so, you know, so I'm expecting, as Shakespeare said, to suffer the slings and arrows for standing up. But, you know, at the same time, man, I'm also realizing, I'm like, okay, we got Julian Assange. Well, he's locked away in a dungeon. You got Edward Snowden. You got, and people talk about Snowden, but there was a bunch of other people that got basically, oh, and by the way, Texas Boys, TD got with me today, and all of a sudden, one of their videos got flagged from 2 years ago. So,
wow,
it's like a full court press. Yeah,
there should be like a statute of limitation. Like, if you don't catch it within a week, then it's just good to go. Unless it's like something like completely, you know, overt. But if it's like one of these like minor infractions where, oh, you said a topic that we don't like, if you don't catch it within a week, it should just go.
Yeah, but that's exactly what they're trying to do. And I suspect over time, as things unfold, I mean, those of us out here that are actually speaking truth to power or telling it like it is, or at least the way we see it, you know, it's like I was told a long time ago, man, just doing the right thing doesn't mean you keep your job.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm fully aware of the attacks that'll unfold and the things that'll happen. And, but what I was getting at before with Julian Assange, you got Edward Snowden, you got a long list of people. And I remember writing a while back, as soon as Snowden came out, and like I said, folks think Snowden was this and that. Well, there were people much higher than Snowden that came out, but they never got any airplay, which made me believe, okay, maybe there's something of a, it seems like something's a little bit off here. All these people that were whistleblowers, I mean, all the way back to 9/11, man, the list is very, very long. I wondered, and I actually said when the thing was, I said, you know what? His biggest regret is that he sat here and blew the whistle to an American public that could not care less.
Yeah.
And then here I am, to whatever extent I'm doing it, I'm saying what I'm saying, and no good deed goes unpunished. So I'm starting to understand why a lot of people won't even touch these issues. I to a certain extent, I can't help myself. My name means protector. So I feel to a certain extent that I got to say what I know to be true. And it's not always going to be popular. But then again, sometimes the strongest tree, we plant guilds, but there are times in nature where the strongest tree stands alone. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That does happen, you know. All right, so I won't stay on that too much longer. But so other happenings right here at the farm is, you know, I've been making bone sauce today. I can't really make it quick enough. And then every weekend as of late, I'm out of town. So that's – and folks, the
same
stuff
as this weekend, right? You're going to the – which one is it?
Yeah, this is going to be Kentucky Sustainable Living this right. weekend. And going to be doing a fundraiser for Vets for Child Rescue. And in the future, I'm going to be doing more work with Bear Independent and Caleb House. And folks, when you see that interview that I did with him, man, I'll be honest with you, man. It took everything I had to not be in tears because I got this strong affinity for kids, especially the ones that are abused, man. And Bear's ability to communicate is unparalleled in so many different ways. And good night, man. When he's going through telling me what these kids go through, man. It just broke me down. It was all I could do to keep from losing it right there doing the video. So I'm just like, dude, just keep it together. There's a portion where I had to kind of check out because I just didn't. I'm like, man, I'm not about to be blubbering right here on camera, but that's what this stuff brings to me.
Hey, real quick, since we're on the topic of, you know, censorship and whatnot, Fed Up asked, hey guys, quick question. If YouTube takes you guys off ever, if YouTube takes you guys off ever, do y'all have a secondary channel or a place to upload to? We still have the podcast channel, the podcast stream. So if you check us out on like any podcast player or anything like that, you'll still get that feeds even if YouTube takes us off. But the issue with Brighteon is the file size to upload. They don't accept videos over like a certain file size. And each one of these videos is definitely over that file size. And I don't know. Like, I don't know if we can stream through StreamYard directly to Rumble.
Well, I think you can, and I know okay. Rumble. TD was telling me also the weird stuff with Rumble,
right?
But we do have some backups over there. So, and I'm not even sure it's a matter of if, as things get weirder and weirder and weirder. Anybody who's and it ain't going to be just us. I mean, I was just having this conversation earlier today, or at least text with TD and a number of others as well. I mean, it's just kind of understood that in the nature of the world we live in, that's really what I want to, you know, we'll say more of that when we get into the main topic, y'all. Okay. And I want to thank everybody for being here tonight.
I just want to like press though, that the podcast stream will always be up. They like that won't get taken down. So if you find out that like the YouTube channel's gone, just check us out, Permaculture Pimpcast, on any podcast player you have.
But it is being suppressed.
Right.
It is being very, very suppressed. And anybody else out there who's saying anything of any consequence, it's being suppressed all the way around. I mean, it really, really is. But that's another time, y'all, that we'll maybe cover more of that. So other farm happenings today, got back yesterday evening and today flipped some compost. And we're covering more and more of that on Patreon. Because it's one of those things, man, in this world where everybody's like, I had to go by the farm store today. I was looking for one particular item and the guys in there asking about fertilize. That's what they call it around here. Yeah. It's not fertilizer. It's fertilize. And he's in there looking for some fertilize. And I don't know that they didn't have it, but he was not happy. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's why we do our compost. I mean, it's all right there. And it's not the NPK that's giving you the stuff you need. I mean, despite what everybody thinks. Well, right. Tell them what it is, son.
It's the soil food web. It's the act of bacteria and fungi getting eaten by their predators and then getting pooped out the other side.
Right. And that's exactly, we're finding out in so many different ways. Everything we were told, everything we thought is not exactly accurate. But that's why we spend so much time talking about compost, because that is your fertility right there. Instead of going out there putting all these things that are ultimately going to become salts in your soil. That's right. Really what it becomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If instead of doing that, man, I mean, get the gift that keeps on giving. And that's the form of compost. That's why I spend so much time, especially as of late over on Patreon, talking about these different ways. If you got this, like one of the examples, I said, okay, if your pile's running too hot, and we had one that was running too hot,
right?
Because I had a lot of sheep guts in there from a couple of sheep that we just processed. And I'm like, okay, if it's running too hot, this is what you got to do. And that's one of the many things we cover over there. So we can go into much greater detail there. And we got pay. We have things from a dollar all the way up to 25.
Right.
And then I still got people complaining. Well, I mean, pull those T-Rex arms out from behind your side. If you can't afford a dollar, I mean, how much is that cable subscription? Which, by the way, I spent little time in that hotel this weekend. It's the only time I watch TV. Wall to wall fear coverage. I mean, in the
you were watching the news?
Yeah, in the bottom, because I don't watch TV.
Well, if you're in the hotel, you got to watch the Food Network or something. Well, or like that's what History or Discovery Channel.
If your mom's with me, the only thing we'll ever watch is like that Food Network.
Yeah.
Or I'm putting on the History Channel. I want to see Ancient Aliens or something like that. Well, check this out. The first hotel I went to, I was in two different hotels. First hotel, I kid you not, I don't know what package this was, but all it had was reality TV. No news channels, no nothing. It was it.
The Desperate Housewives package.
Yeah, I don't know what this thing was, but then we turned back around the next night.
The Vicodin and Botox package.
Man, I don't know what this thing was. This was, I ain't never seen nothing like it. And then the next night, the next day, I'm like, okay, so I got all the news channels. And I'm like, all of them are in lockstep. All of them are saying the same thing. There's not one channels disagreeing with anything else. I mean, it's, and then what kills me is that they have this little box in the lower right hand corner where it's a constant camera right there in Gaza. And I'm like, come on, man, really?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, sadly, everybody's believing what these profligate liars are telling me. And it was like your mom said, your mom, man, hey, y'all, if you don't know, Michelle is a flipping genius in so many different ways. She says, okay, I got, she says, you know what? I don't understand it either, Billy, because I'm complaining. And she's sitting here, she's listening to me complain. And she says, you know what? She says, I could probably say over the last 50 years, but just find me one official story over the last, and she just threw it out of nowhere, said, over the last 3 years that didn't turn out to be a lie.
Yeah.
Name one, not two, not 10, not just one. Name one official story that didn't turn out to be a lie.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, boy, she always had a way of explaining things that I could understand it.
Just to come out and say that we were right 20 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they'll just come out 20 years later and say, oh, you guys were right. And do the same thing over
again.
So
anytime you're given an official story, like, can you cite just in 3 years? But you know what? I'll put a zero behind that. In 30 years, cite one. Just one official story, I don't care what it is, that didn't turn out to be a manufactured lie. So just put that in your pipe and smoke it for all you folks out there. But I was like, man, your mom, boy, she's knocking it out of the park. Yeah. There's times where she'll just come up with some stuff that's just so poignant, but she'll break it down in a way. We're going to get her on this podcast way more regular than you know, y'all. So, other things going on right here is we're planning for winter. And hopefully not the winter of our discontent, as Shakespeare put it. So winter's coming up and kind of working out my projects. We don't really take off for the winter, although I'm going to try and actually slow down this winter because we really, the freezers are so doggone full. I don't even, that's a good problem to have. But the only thing I intend to put in it is any animals I have to cull.
Right.
So I'm like, man, can we even eat this stuff? You know, when TD and them were in town, man, I wanted to kick myself. I'm like, these guys are all on the all meat diet. Man, I could have had them eating up some of this stuff out of the freezer.
That lamb breakfast sausage you made was off the hook. I liked it. Did you?
Yeah, I ate it today. So, folks, that's one of the latest inventions I came up with. I mean, I'm sure somebody else has done it before. And then I was thinking about some of the people that may be averse to pork or whatever. So I came up with a recipe for doing lamb. And plus I had a bunch of ground lamb. I'd never done this before. And so I wanted to see if my recipe for making pork breakfast sausage would work for lamb.
Yeah.
And I
thought it worked.
I thought it worked out great. If I would change anything in it, I probably went a little heavy on the rosemary. And honestly,
I thought it was good. I thought that was a good amount of rosemary.
Well, here's the part that bugs me is that when I usually make this is the problem when you process things. Folks, I know this is going to sound like I'm all hoity-toity here because, I love to ask Chef Snow what he thinks about it. But when people process animals, it's, you do a lot of processing in the fall.
Yeah.
And part of that problem, at least for me, is now I don't have access to the fresh things that are ordinarily growing out there. Yeah, the rosemary I could still get.
Mm-hmm.
The thyme, it's touch and go. In this recipe of mine, I'm like, okay, I just cooked it a little bit too much. I cooked a little too much fat out of it. So that was one of the problems, but the flavor is on point. So I can't believe I just invented, at least, I mean, at least I don't know if somebody else did it. I'm sure somebody has.
Tim Riley's wanting the recipe.
Yeah.
Because he's about to put two sheep in the freezer this weekend.
Okay. Man. Yeah. Maybe I can cover that on the break. You get prepared to copy. Tim.
Yeah. 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 I can type it out in the chat. Like whenever we're playing Eric or Chef Snow.
Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do. I'll go ahead and pull that up if I can, but it's
kinda, stay tuned.
Well, there's things that I have, like my potato salad recipe, which it's a smoked potato salad where I smoke the potatoes and make potato salad out of it. Y'all, I know, I'm telling you, it is the shiznit.
Yeah, tell them the secret, though.
I ain't telling nobody no secret.
Tell them the secret.
It's a secret. Why would I? It's a secret.
I don't know, to share the flavor. Dad, tell them the secret.
Oh, on the potatoes?
Yeah. When you smoke them. Oh, you do it underneath the...
Yeah, the potatoes kind of gather up all the drippings of whatever I'm cooking on top of it. So if you have one of those smokers, a vertical kind of smoker, put your potatoes down low. And let's say you got a brisket, or it could be whatever you want. The drippings come down and they permeate the potatoes as the potatoes are in there smoking. But it's kind of a touchy thing, man. If you leave the potatoes in there too long, they'll get all mealy. So you want them in there long enough to where they can get the smoke, but you got to finish them in the oven. So
and that's the fat.
Yeah, so they can get some of that. So you want your meat starting, you know, a few hours ahead of time. And then if you have one of those smokers, so the drippings get caught in those potatoes. Folks, I mean, I'm not going to brag here, but man, I know what time it is. I'm making some ball and potato salad. And so that was like a composition. That was like years in progress, man. And I have that thing kind of down. So maybe in the future, I'll go ahead and drop that recipe too, man, and see if other people can replicate it.
You did somewhere. Didn't you do it on Patreon like a couple of years ago? I think it was a Patreon thing a couple of years ago.
I don't think if I did, I don't recall it. I mean, it could be. Well, folks, before we get into some of the other stuff we got going on, we'll go to Pastor Lon here in a second. But remember, I want to remind you, this is important. And like I said, I'm going to cover this in the main topic. It might be a great help to a number of people out there. Remember, hit that like button in there. It's Kentucky Sustainable Living. Sorry, I got a little tongue-tied there. And that's going to be this weekend coming up, October 28th. Man, I've been on my bicycle every week hitting the road, and that's going to be October 28th and 29th, Kentucky Sustainable Living. And I'm going to be helping process a pig there. Darren from Hacks for the Homesteader is going to be doing that, and I'm going to be a sidekick. And we're going to do that, but also they're going to be raising money for Vets for Child Rescue. And, man, if you only knew what's been happening to those guys as of late. I mean, the powers that shouldn't be are doing everything they can to keep these awesome people from doing what they do, and that's rescuing kids. So, so we're going to be raising money for them at a charity dinner. And most of the proceeds go to that. So I bought two tickets myself, and I'm even going to be singing up there. So, it's going to be
potato salad.
I love it, TD. The potato salad, man.
Pimp sauce.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to go with that, man. Yeah. I love it. All right. With that, y'all, we're going to go straight into Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for you today. It's in Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." You know, all he wants you to do is give him a chance. And that's what I encourage you to do today. If you don't know the Lord, I pray that you would just taste of him. Give him a chance to see that he's good. Matter of fact, he's the only reason we wake up every morning. He's the only reason we take the next breath we got right now. So even if you haven't been born again, he's still good. He's still merciful, and he still blesses you. How much more would he do for you if you become one of his children? So I encourage you today, taste of the Lord. See, won't he bless you? See that he is the best thing you could ever, ever taste of or partake of in your life. Matter of fact, you could have everything else in this world and not have the Lord in your life. And ultimately, you would still have nothing.
Bam. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You take over for a second. I'm going to type this recipe out.
Yeah, I'm always taking over, man. So, so this is the recipe that he's going to put on there for this breakfast sausage. And like I said, it's the same exact recipe that I use for all my pork sausage. So if you're seeing me halfway on the screen, you'll know what time it is. All right, so Here we go, y'all. Usually we had the bad news, good news section. It's now the all good news section because, I mean, you don't – I mean, do you really need me to give you bad news stories in this world? I think you all know what those are right now. And I know people think I'm a little bit crazy on some of the things I call good news. But anyway, I'll jump right into it. More people are disaster prepping these days and perhaps more than ever before. And that's coming from the Wall Street Journal. So record numbers right now. Look, we've talked about it over and over and over again. A lot of people have gone country, as Alan Jackson said. A lot of people are, you know, finding out that the status quo is just the fastest way to misery. And sadly, a lot of us find this out, you know, after we've been down this road. So, you know, I'm going to call that good news, man. A lot of people, when they say prepping, that could be so many things. And usually when it's coming from a source like the Wall Street Journal, they're going to turn it into a pejorative. Prepping is typically something. This is why when they add ER to anything, just know that they're trying to create a pejorative. So think about it. Truther, prepper, birther, blah, 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 denier. It doesn't even matter. So when they add ER to anything, just remember it is meant to stifle dissension. And that ain't no accident. All right. So some other good news here, depending on where you're coming from. I really thought this was good news because what's blowing my mind right now are the number of people out there, especially pastors, saying, let's just kill them all. I'm like, where are the calls for peace out there? It's strangely enough that most of the calls for peace seem to be coming from people that have spilled blood in their lives. And so here it is. We got this whole cadre. It says, and this is another one. I think this was from Wall Street Journal as well. Why Jews are calling for peace and the halting of the Israeli genocide against the Palestinian people. I know there's people coming out on each side of that equation. I get it. I understand. And if you listen to Bear Independent today in his Bear Brief, he kind of brings up one of the things that he and I spoke about concerning the official story. Like, and, you know, he thought it was, I've been saying this from day one. I'm like, okay, well, if you, let me just turn that a little bit because I'm halfway off the screen. Yeah. So imagine, okay, let's just say me and William go in and we rob a liquor store. All right.
Well, it's got to be a liquor store.
A liquor store. You got to make it. Yeah. We got to make it gratuitous. So we go and rob a liquor store. Okay. Pow, pow, pow. We go in there, shoot the place up, steal the money, steal the booze. Now, surely we both know that if we stick around long enough, there's going to be a witness and there's probably going to be cops, unless it's in like St. Louis or someplace like that. But we know that if this goes on, but we're hitting a hardened place, why anybody would ever rob a liquor store to begin with, I don't know, because they're waiting on you.
Yeah.
They know some dope is going to try to rob them. So you're probably going to get, you know, Kentucky Fried and blasted full of holes anyway. So imagine we go in there, rob a liquor store. And then you decide on top of that, you know what? I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead and get drunk right here in the liquor store and then we'll go. Okay.
Yeah.
Now overlay with that, with the official story that we've been told, you're telling me these people just rolled in here, murdered everybody. And then in light of all that, we're going to stick around and rape people on top of it, even though a quick reaction force is on its way. Come on, man. The story, it doesn't hold water. And Bear brought it up today. I brought it up to Bear yesterday, and he brought it up today on his thing on his channel. I guess it hit him like a ton of bricks when I said that. I'm like, okay, it doesn't even make sense, but this is the stuff. Everybody's so in this bloodlust right now, but I'm glad to hear that certain minds are out there saying, hey, what about peace? I'm hearing pastors out there, man. I'm just floored by this.
Yeah.
I'm hearing pastors out there saying, instead of saying, look, okay, I hate what they did. I hate what happened. You think we ought to have some peace here?
If nothing else, at what point is like the retaliation even?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At what point is it, okay, they doubled the body count. Are they even now?
Yeah. At what point do you say, when you get down to brass tacks with all this, there's not one element. And anytime anybody questions, hey, this part doesn't make sense. Oh, this part doesn't make sense. Oh, there's 15, 20 different parts that don't make any sense. Whenever anybody asks that question, what's the response?
Anti-Semitic.
That or, well, let's just get through the worry right now. Let's just get through the crisis right now. Then we'll talk about that later. No. You've been doing that forever and a day. And once again, like my wife said, find me one official story in the last 3 years, last 4 years, last 30 years that didn't turn out to be a profligate lie. Name one. I'm waiting. Anybody in the chat, if you got one that was officially proclaimed that didn't turn out to be a lie, I want to know about it. All right. So last good news up. Was that really good news then? I mean, okay.
The good news is your gut feeling was right. They've been lying the whole time.
Yeah. And both sides, everybody's lying. Everybody. So just remember that. I mean, just don't dispense with your understanding or your common sense just because somebody told you to. And like I said, they're in a full court press and all of them are saying the same thing. So you ought to be waking up. All right. So I guess I kind of turned that into bad news. My apologies. So this is actually good news right here. So check this out. Old coal mines filled with water has been heating a town with green energy for 6 months. Now, this is actually happening over in the UK. Now, they've been using coal forever and a day. There was a time where, I mean, you know, Dickens and a number of others have written about it, where it was just so filthy over there because everybody was burning coal and all the soot and all this other stuff. So London was really not the most pleasant place in the world to live. Well, check this out. Some really inspiring, and this is a permaculture solution, believe it or not. So all these mines that go down way deep, so deep, in fact, that, you know, they're taking that warm water and using it for geothermal.
That's pretty cool.
So, I mean, it's like
how right deep now, did they go?
Well, they went deep enough, apparently. Well, even so, think about it. Let's say it's below freezing on top and the ground temperature is constant.
Yeah.
So even if you were to exchange, let's say you're heating with whatever that ground temperature is, well, that's a lot better than trying to exchange it with something that's zero.
Right.
Or, you know, well below freezing. So if you're in the 50s in your ground temperature, well, it's easy to exchange that. So anyway, apparently these mines go deep enough to where they're putting down these heat pumps, and it's like a 350 high rise buildings that they're doing all this stuff in. So,
man, cool.
You talk about the problem being the solution. So you got all these holes out there, fill them up with water. I mean,
just in time too.
Yeah.
Just in time for winter.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, with the fuel and all, I mean, if this thing goes, folks, we need to be praying for peace in the most profound way, because really, like William said, I mean, we've kind of said it in jest, but the point of it being, and it's true, that if this thing jumps off and you get everybody in it, man, do you know what's going to happen to your fuel? Do you know what's going to happen to your groceries? Things are double what they were than a year ago. It's getting crazy. So we all need to get on our knees and be thanking the Almighty for, first of all the things we don't deserve to begin with. And in addition to that, good night, that cooler heads prevailed, that this stuff is made known, that the real truth of all this stuff is made known. Let's go all the way. In fact, if we're going to make the truth known, let's go all the way back to about 100 years ago. Right. Yeah, I can get all with the Federal Reserve. Let's start there and then work our way forward. Let's get some truth out there. All right, y'all. With that said, we're going to go straight into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, permaculture aid work. The majority of my permaculture work experience has been on aid projects. It has been a great way to gain experience and see the world, but it's not for everybody. The conditions are pretty rough, the resources are minimal, and there is every reason it will not work, but you will learn a lot about yourself and what is possible. Two qualities that are non-negotiable are dogged persistence and a lot of tolerance. One of the biggest lessons I learned early on is that aid work is a business, just like war, and one usually follows the other, because administrators need to keep finding new projects to secure their salaries. So it's typically a three-year project focusing on singular issues. In contrast, permaculture aid is complicated and long-term, and it doesn't check off a box on a grant application very easily. More importantly, it makes future aid work redundant because it creates self-reliant communities. That's just bad for business. Working in Jordan on the Greening the Desert project was a life-changing experience. I take that experience into every project or consultation I have. The conditions are so severe in Jordan that only the most proven strategies will work. So that is the foundation I start with. And only when the specific conditions allow do I expand into more experimental strategies. If permaculture can work in Jordan, it can work anywhere. So there's really no excuse. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog. And Eric, by the way, was going to be in Jordan. He asked me to go with him. He's actually going to be there next month. So pray for him if it ends up working out. Me and Michelle were actually considering for a while there whether or not we were going to go. And, man, I'd love to go over there. But, Yeah, we got a lot of other irons in the fire that just
also might not be a good time.
Well, it's never a good time for anything, you know. I remember talking to Joel Salatin about this. He and I were sitting down one time eating dinner, and I remember asking him about this. He was about to go to South Africa, and I was like, Joel, you know, with all this junk going on in the world right now, do you ever spend any time worrying about what if it? I mean, right now, man, they're chopping off the heads of farmers in South Africa, man. You sure you want to go there? And he was like, man, that's not my problem.
Joel could probably charm his way out of any situation. Everybody loves Joel.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, Joel's one of those guys, man. He'd just get there. I mean, one of these crazy Africans get out there wanting to take his head off, man. 10 minutes with him and they'll all be captivated. Yeah. Like, I mean, like zombies. Just because honestly,
they're all going to be farmers.
When you get a chance to, I tried to talk Joel into doing a book, a audio series, where it would be like bedtime stories. Where I'm dead serious. I tried to talk him into it, and he just laughed. And I was dead serious. I was like, dude, I really think you ought to do this, because I've never heard of a man who had a collection of better stories. I mean. Right. I remember him telling me this story about Allen Nation one time and trains. I mean, I was so captivated about ran into somebody when I was driving. I'm like, Joel, will you quit, man? I'm over here trying to drive this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, extraordinary guy. But yeah. Anyway, check out Eric over there. He's got the ball in his t-shirts out there. I wear them about 85% to 90% of the probably 90% of the time out there.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Before we get into the main topic, and I'm glad you stuck around for this, remember, hit that thumbs up if you're on your way in. Before we get into it, EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember, the number one, take it from me, I'm a journeyman electrician, IBEW-trained electrician, 25 years experience, and I'm telling you, EMPs are probably a very real thing right now, but you know what's even more real, and despite the status of the world, lightning. And that's what this thing does on your house. Basically, it will arrest that lightning. And if it does get past it, they got a guarantee that nobody can match. And it's 25 G's if it blows up anything in your house. So that's why I reached out to EMP Shield and asked them to be a sponsor. So go check them out. Remember, promo code PERMA, give you $50 off. Okay, so here's the main topic, y'all. And I can't even believe I sat here and I kind of wrestled with it, whether or not I even wanted to do this as a main topic at first. And the reason why is because every time I do a show where it really, really lays me bare, I'm always worried about some troll or some whatever out there. It's a foolish concern because I'm not helping anybody out there. I do this podcast primarily because I can say things here typically that I can't normally say on YouTube, or just doesn't make sense to put in a video. It's cathartic to me. And I know it is for a lot of you folks out there too. I was at this festival this last weekend. Okay. The Mountain Festival. If you're late getting in here, I was teaching and not class. And then the following day I taught it again, but it also enabled me. This is one of those festivals where I was like, okay, man, a perfect blend of homesteading, permaculture, at least in my view, but also survival. As I'm looking down all the classes and what I wanted to take and what I wanted to do, I felt woefully inadequate. And I've been doing this, y'all, for almost as long as it's been alive. And I've been at this for a very, very long time. Now, some of these things I'm conversational, but I'm not fluent. Now, in the things I do know, I know them well, but it also made me think when I first did a little bit of inventory of myself, I'm like, okay, here's some of the classes that were going on there. And I got them written down here. Ham radio, wild edibles, tracking, textiles, tanning skins, you know, and I've talked about how little I know anything about that. Blacksmithing, and that's just a short list. Okay, of everything I just said there, I am a walking nincompoop regarding all of them. But I am now this. Okay, when I'm driving home, I got a little bit of time to really lay this out. It had already occurred to me before because I was like, okay, I'm thinking usually ahead of the show. I usually don't decide what we're going to talk about on this show until the day of, sometimes just hours before, because I'm like, okay, well, I know that I can talk. I mean, it's not like when I was doing talk radio where I had to take a topic that was going on in the news that day, and then somehow to manage to make a 3-hour show out of it. I don't have to do that. I'm talking about things I already know about. So it's not like I have to do any I do research, but that's not what I'm getting at. It's not like I have to sit here and go to 15,000 different sources to figure this stuff out. So when I'm sitting here thinking, okay, do I want to talk about this tonight? Because I know that there's a lot of people out here going to need this information. Okay, I've been at this a long time. I know what I know, and I know it well. But everything I just said, ham radio. We got ham radios out here, y'all, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've never even knocked them out of the package. Part of the reason being is I was like, okay, in the pantheon of all the things I have to do, I always consider that low on the totem pole because I'm thinking, okay, well, everybody I need to get a hold of is right here. Why would I even need it? I mean, if I can monitor what's going on, okay, I'm good enough.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always thought. And then over time, I got to thinking, okay, that's not very smart. My friend Steve kind of made a pretty convincing case to where, you know, maybe you're not really looking at this well. Wild edibles. Yeah, I'm good to a certain extent, but could I go out there and survive on wild edibles? I mean, few people can.
Yeah, very few people can.
Few people can, but it's something that I've never put a whole lot of effort into. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm looking at this stuff from where I am. That's just one game right there, man. If you know a lot about, can make all the difference in the world. Okay, so that's something I'm sitting here thinking, good night, man. I don't know anything about this in comparison to what I need to know. Okay, let's go to the next one. Now, this one is probably not as critical, but after I actually did this class, and it was the one on tracking.
Yeah.
And I had a tiny bit of training. I mean, a very tiny bit. But then in this 2-hour class, I realized how little I don't. I will never look at a footprint ever again. It was amazing to me. This guy was now here, folks, this is what blows my mind. Yeah, I can't even tell you how many former Green Berets. When I say Green Beret, when people say Special Forces, they mean SEALs, Marine Force Recon. They mean all of the above, Army Rangers. That's not how it works. Special Forces are the Green Berets. That's the only Special Forces there are.
Isn't there a difference between like Special Forces operations and Special Forces?
Well, when you say Special,
like Forces, anybody can be a part of the operation.
It's just misused. People just don't. I don't want to get tied down on that. But when you hear Special Forces, there's only one Special Forces, and that's the Green Berets. Well, you had former Vietnam era Green Berets that were out here teaching this tracking course and a number of other courses out there. And these guys learned under the best on the planet, according to them, the Montagnards up in Vietnam. The stories they were telling about what these guys do, and then they were in Africa learning under the Maasai. And we're out here, and I am absolutely captivated where he's going through this 2-hour training, and I'm like, I can't believe what I learned in this 2 hours. Okay, is that something you would find useful? Yeah, in a collapse scenario or whatever the case may be, I'm like, okay, just that 2-hour class, I'm never going to look at a footprint ever again.
Right.
And then he's like, okay, let's look at a footprint. And so he drags this guy like he's, you know, trying to take him as a hostage or whatever. And then you're looking at it in this arena floor, what that looks like. And then we walk outside and he's explaining, okay, when you don't, it's like any other skill. But the cool thing about it is, am I conversational? Nope. But I know I'm like, okay, now I know where I need to go get more training on this. And I'm looking forward to doing that very thing. I'll give you another one that seems kind of embarrassing to me. And this is tanning skins. Y'all have any idea how many critters I done put in freezers? And I don't know how to tan a hide yet. I don't know this. And it's embarrassing. I mean, I've been talking about this for years, how I need to get this done. And I have not made time to do it. I'm getting somewhere with all this. Just stay with me. So there was a lady out there, and I never got a chance to get her contact information. I was trying to. I'll have to get with T out there at Mountain Readiness and talk about it. But I'm telling y'all, the collection of instructors at this thing, and it wasn't just like stand up and watch a speech or anything. It was a, it was a let's do it kind of thing. Every single class out there was like, even my class, you know, showed people how to make a Swiss seat, showed people all these knots. And then had we had more time, I was going to make a zip line for them. And we were going to try all that. So, you know, corrections that I'll make next time. Probably next time it ought to be a 2-hour class. So, but the point being is that here it is. We had a lady out there teaching how to tan skins. And I'm like, okay, now that's clearly something that, but it takes longer than 2 hours to learn.
Yeah.
but she has a school not far from us. Hang with me, y'all. There's something I'm getting at. And then, of course, there was a lady who was a permaculture designer along with her husband who was a blacksmith dude. And I'm like, okay, I remember learning blacksmithing. I mean, what little you do learn in junior high.
Yeah.
When I was in junior high, that was one of the shop classes you could take. So here we are. Fast approaching. And then, of course, there was another lady talking about textiles and, you know, how mm-hmm. she's making them out of everything. Some people even doing it out of dog's hair, for crying out loud.
Yeah, apparently, like, if you get husky or, like, milk boy hair or something like that, it's over 3 inches long. It's more insulative than wool, or
yeah.
something, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, like, Pyrenees hair, I mean,
yeah,
you ain't gonna catch me brushing him, but I know we got a whole bucket out there full of... Anyway, that's another thing altogether, but the point being is, and yeah, so many people in the chat are saying, yeah, you can't learn everything. Yeah, right. I know, but folks, when you are a butcher like I am, and you teach this, and I'm composting the skins because I don't know what else to do with it. Yeah. Is that an ethical way of using the skins? Sure.
Yeah.
It is the best way to use the skins? No. And it's embarrassing to me. And it has been for some time. I mean, what kind of permaculture pimp would I be without a stole? You know, I need a hat, a fur hat. No, I'm kidding about all this. But the point being is that there are all these skills out there. Yeah, I got a good bag of tricks that I currently have, but I see these holes in my game, and it was made abundantly obvious to me. This is exactly why you need to be going to these things, y'all, because I've committed to myself. I got this festival coming up, Kentucky Sustainable Living. It is happening this weekend. It's almost embarrassing to me at the last festival that all these people are telling me, oh, I want this training. I want to be there. You had some of the best instructors probably in the world on some of this stuff, but more people were over at the balloon festival that was happening down the road.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay,
I think balloon festival.
Man, we got our priorities all kinds of screwed up. You have got a massive opportunity coming up this weekend at Kentucky Sustainable Living up there in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I'm going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of other people there. I'm even going to be singing, for crying out loud. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, I'm going to be singing some David Allan Coe. Probably shouldn't have said that just yet. But anyway, the point being is that there's this whole constellation of things that I have long wanted to learn. And I'm in this space. So I'm not critical of all you people that are new to this space and thinking, oh, man, I don't know where to start. Well, yeah, I didn't just begin this last night. And, you know, some of you might have. But there are opportunities going on right now where instead of going to a flipping balloon festival right now, you can go, I don't even know what to say to you. A balloon festival. You got the whole world falling apart. Yeah, go enjoy the balloon festival, but maybe you want to go over here and learn homestead knots with a permaculture pimp daddy. Or maybe you want to learn from a real deal dude that's been teaching tracking for 30 years. Maybe you want to learn from this young lady over here who's showing people how to take the hide off this animal and make some really, really useful stuff out of it.
Right.
Man, your mom would be tripping, dude, if I could make her some sheep socks or something
Yeah, she wouldn't be wearing them.
Some moccasins.
She would never wear them.
But, or, you know, go out here, you know, bears. I mean, we got them running all around this place, man.
Yeah.
Almost hit three little bears. I finally saw some bears up in these mountains. But the point being is that instead of me composting this stuff, here's what I've decided to do. If we still have a planet, if these fools don't manage to just murder everybody, I am absolutely going to knock a couple of these things off this list this winter. Okay, ham radio, I'm going to learn that. And Ben from...
Tim Riley suggested check out Radio Made Easy. He's on YouTube and apparently in North Carolina too.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Tim. Because I'm honestly, here's what I'm going to commit myself to do. I got a couple of obligations to get done this fall. But through this winter, I am going to learn. I'm going to become conversational on ham radio. I'm going to learn, first of all, if I can make it happen, I'm going to get that tracking thing done. And tanning skins, if it be the Lord's will, I will absolutely learn how to tan hides before this year's out. Now, I said all that, folks, to say, look, you can go ahead and watch a ball game on Saturday. You can do these other things. But, man, there are fantastic opportunities where you can go to these festivals. Look, nobody's paying me to say this. I don't get paid to go to these things usually. I'm going here because I want to fellowship with other people. And it's like a it's really like a reunion. That's what it really turns out to be. You see some of the friends that you've made along the way, and you like your hug and hang out together. You find out how they're doing. And it's just, if no other reason, you go there and you learn these things, folks. I'm saying all this. I'm not trying to sell tickets necessarily. I'm trying to keep you alive. There's things you can learn here, especially when it comes to processing animals. Everybody says, well, I'll go hunting. You know who tells me that? People that ain't ever spilled blood in their lives. Those are the ones that are out there saying, oh, well, things get stupid. I'm coming to your house. No, you ain't. And let me tell you what else you ain't going to do. You ain't going to just go hunting. And if you did, do you have any idea what to do with that animal after you kill it?
Right. Yeah. Do you know how to get, do you know how long that like an average deer would last your family of four? Do you know like how to preserve it for that long?
There you go. How are you going to handle that animal after you take it down? Well, you learn this stuff at these festivals. If you're not going to maybe learn all of it, but you get yourself much further along, even if you didn't put your hands on it, but you saw the process done, it enables you at least that much closer when things start getting stupid. And it ain't a matter of if, it's when things really start getting stupid, now you're in a position where you can like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've been there before. At least I've seen it done. Okay. I got something to go with. I'm saying all that, folks, because look, there are holes in my game, big holes, and I've known them for a long time, and I'm gonna start fixing some of those holes. Yeah, can I get better at what I already know? Absolutely. But you know what? I take a whole lot of life in the course of a year, a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I could respect that. I could at least feel good about the fact that I don't waste anything, but I would feel even better if instead of composting that skin, I were to make something useful out of it. And think about it, folks. There's another value-added product you got right there. You know, with all the, I mean, think about all the, how many different things you can make out of these things.
Well, yeah. And if nothing else, if you just had the skin with the, I mean, just throw it around. It's warm. You can use it as a blanket if you need to. You can use it for whatever.
You know how much money I could raise for some of these people to go after child trafficking, selling some skins or whatever. I mean, we could auction this stuff off and raise money for them. 100% of the proceeds go to that.
Yeah.
I mean, man, that would just make my day. I mean, that's part of whatever I need motivation to do these things. That's where it comes from. So I'm going to add one more thing before we move on to the Q&A, and we'll get to some of you guys in the chat. Here's another little thing I want to, and this is coming from me as an electrician, where everybody's talking about holes in their games. This has been bugging me for a while. Everybody's saying, hey, go out there and get these solar generators. Okay. They're great, you know, for what they do. Got no complaints about them. But like I said, once again, I am a journeyman electrician, so I may be thinking about things that maybe you're not. So I hear people going out there, a lot of YouTube channels, and maybe they don't know. They probably don't. Oh, hey, my man Bowen over at Thunderstick. What's up, homeboy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said deer don't last a family of four that long. They're all eating the deer.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Bowen, man, I wish I could have hung out with him that time I saw him over at that one festival. Anyway, yeah, hope to catch up with you again, my man. But anyway, folks, I'm gonna drop a little tip out there for all you folks that are saying, well, I live rurally, I got my water, got all this and that. And then I'm asking, okay, well, how do you intend to power your place? Do you need power if things go stupid? Oh no, I got one of those eco flows. Okay. Well, just take this from me, journeyman electrician, quarter of a century experience. Okay, ask yourself, what does your water run on? If you're getting it from a well, 9 times out of 10, you got a 240 volt pump, but all those eco flows, unless you put them in tandem and they got them set up that way, they're 120 volt, but you got to run a 240 volt system. And if you got a well as deep as mine, which is 650 feet, which isn't a big problem because we live in a temperate rainforest, there's water coming out of everywhere, but I'm just I want y'all to think about this and maybe pass this around to people that don't know. Most times, your well pump, I don't know if I've ever seen it any other way, is going to be 240 volts. Well, guess what? 120 volt system ain't going to pull that up out of there. So you might want to think about that. They do make them, like I said, I know you can put them in tandem some kind of way with that EcoFlow, and I'm sure there's others out there. Now, your regular generators out there, they got a lot of 240 volt options. So think about that also. And that's a little tip I'm going to leave with a lot of you out there. And I never thought about talking about it before, but I don't know why it hit me like a ton of bricks today. I'm like, okay, when I was thinking about doing this show, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give all of you a tip out there. Remember, your water, your pumps, 9 times out of 10 ain't even running on no 120 volt. So yeah. Think about how you're going to mitigate that. 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be from 120 volt EcoFlow. All right. With that said, y'all, we're going to go straight into Chef Keith Snow, man, that's almost a tongue twister.
Hey, Chuck Keith Snow with Harvest Eating with another PimpCast tip of the day, and that is making dried apple rings. Now, whenever I have a good supply of apples, I take those apples, remove the core, make sure they're good and clean first, remove the core, and then I slice them up with the skin on. I put those into my Excalibur food dehydrator. You just lay them on the trays, and I turn it on the setting for 135 degrees. And I believe it takes me usually between 6 to 12 hours to get those apple rings, not crisp, but also not super moist, something I would say kind of like leather. And they're a little bit flexible, but one thing they are is super delicious. And this is a great way to use up a lot of apples and to use them in a different way. Instead of cider, instead of apple butter, instead of apple sauce, you have dried apple rings. And I can promise you, if you put them in an airtight container like a glass jar, they'll last a long time. And just about anybody's going to love snacking on apple rings. To learn more about being secure in your food, check out foodstoragefeast.com. I show you how to cook with all sorts of things like canned food, pasta, corn, wheat, oats, you name it. Foodstoragefeast.com. Check it out today. Thanks.
Yeah, that's my man Keith Snow. Y'all go check him out. We got some apples down there from 3 years ago, and them bad boys, just like you said, they're still good. And
dehydrated.
Now we have that freeze dryer now. And oh, by the way, it is for any. Yeah, Ben Holler, man, I should have got with him, dude. My man went out there, got some honey, some Evercrisps down there at Granddad's Orchard, which is, by the way, the best tasting apple, until I tasted that ugly-looking apple that we got down in our food forest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was supposed to be an Arkansas Black, but it wasn't. I don't know
what that was, but it's some bastardized tree that I don't know what it is. It's the ugliest looking apple, but it's the best tasting apple I've ever had in my life. What did you think?
No, it really was. Yeah.
Perfect on tart, perfect on sweet.
That was
Yeah, it
was. That was when I realized like Stefan Subkoviak was right. Whenever you let the sun heat up the apple a little bit, has like an even more apple pie flavor almost.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you eat apples cold, I mean, he's like, dude, when you do it this way, you become picky.
Yeah.
And I was like, I ain't that picky, bro. But when I ate that apple the other day, I don't know that this thing even has a name. I think it might have been coming off some rootstock that wasn't supposed to be rootstock. I don't know what it was, y'all, but I said up until now, Evercrisp was the best tasting apple I ever had until I tasted whatever that was. And I don't yet know. I don't think it has a name because ain't nobody in their right mind would ever sell an apple that looks this ugly.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't sell that apple. No way. You'd have to do a blind taste test and then show them what the apple looked like.
Well, I'll tell you something strange. Your mom went and picked up some Evercrisps. Ben Holler didn't bother telling me that they went and had some in stock. So he went down there and got them all at Granddad. So they were out. So your mom went everywhere to go find those Evercrisps because she knew I'd burn this whole place down if I didn't have none this year. So, dang. Yeah, man, I gotta have my apples, y'all. And plus, Evercrisp is one of those ones. That's why, little side note, we've talked about it before, but this is what I love about apples is that, think about it, y'all, apples are coming up at a time where everything else is going dormant. It does great in savory dishes, does great in sweet dishes. And your mom asked me today, you want me to make you an apple pie?
Yeah.
I'm like, woman, what's my name? Yes, I want an apple pie. I mean, it's that time of year. I'm gonna pack it on anyway, so just help me out. Help me get there a little bit more. All right, so we're going to the Q&A, y'all. If you have anything in the chat, let us know. William, maybe you want to work that, and I'll work on my end.
I'll go through Fountain App while the questions are coming in through the chat. We don't have much on the Fountain App this time. But
that's cool. We got plenty in the chat here, y'all. We'll get to you in a minute. Go ahead.
Got one from Nomad Joe. Do you do anything to maintain your strawberries?
No.
Slightly, but it's not really to maintain the strawberries. Mom and I have like thinned them out a few times just to transplant them to the other side and stuff like that. So that's the only maintenance that they're getting right now. You can develop like fungal issues if you let them go too far and your humidity is too high. But I don't know if that's possible if you have a complete soil food web. So there's that question.
We got so many of them, y'all. We're stepping on them right now. I guess I understood that question to mean something else. The only thing we've been doing lately is just spraying compost extract.
Yeah.
Highly fungal compost extract at that. And which is only going to encourage even more. I mean, it's, folks, we're seeing growth on trees that is unparalleled. I mean, I got a 3-year-old, that peach over here.
Yeah.
That sucker is going on 3 years now, and it's bigger than most full grown peaches.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that thing like is massive.
Yeah. That thing is just something else. And only thing I'm doing is putting compost extract on it, but really, really, really good compost extract. All right. So Alan says, yeah, so this is in regard to the last podcast. Can't go into all of it right now because I don't want to give it up to other people. But I will say, Alan, he said, as soon as you said church and 150 years ago, I knew exactly what you were talking about. So you'll have to go back to the last episode to know what he was talking about there. I kind of left a couple of breadcrumbs out there. And I don't know if they were breadcrumbs. I was almost pretty obvious about some of it. But I basically said 150 years ago, one thing was introduced to the American public and one thing was extracted. And the one I'll tell you that was extracted was the trivium, which is Latin. It means three roads. It was a way of thinking, giving yourself mental antivirus. And once again, for those that are new here, it's basically asking the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And it has to be in that order. So when they give you the why and the how, hang on, let me back up. It consists of grammar, logic, and rhetoric. The grammar consists of who, what, where, when, who, what, when, where, and then the logic is why, and the rhetoric is how. So it has to be done in that order. But think about what they're telling you in the latest news story out there, y'all. They're giving you the why and the how before the who, what, where, when, and they're not doing it without contradiction. So you automatically, when you know these, the way that your mind should be structured and why it was extracted from the one-room schoolhouse 150 years ago. Well, yeah, it all comes together when you realize that they put their logic and rhetoric before their grammar, and it shouldn't go that way.
And where can they find the information if they're wanting to look for it?
Just put up learning the trivium.
No, not the trivium. People couldn't find what they had taken away from the church 150 years ago last time. So you had to tell them like specifically where to go?
No, I'm just going to leave it right there. You have to go back and listen to the last episode because okay. I dropped all the breadcrumbs you need.
All right, your turn.
Yeah.
Bad. Got one from Nitro Soil. Hashtag tip a pimp. If I don't have access to clean manure, do you have any recommendations for a substance for my first 18-day compost pile?
You can do it without manure completely. I mean, you don't have to have it.
But... Yeah, you don't have to have it, but it definitely helps. You want some fresh green, like new growth material, if you're gonna not have manure, what's called green manure. So like fresh, like new growth, alfalfa, clover, comfrey, all those types of things.
That alfalfa, though.
Yeah, you do, but like that's where you're gonna get your substitute nitrogen from.
Yeah, so that'd be a good way to go about it. I would rather not use the poop. I mean, I prefer to have it every single time. But I would prefer not to have it. I mean, there's so many different nitrogen sources you could use.
Yeah, if you just look up green manure, you should find some pretty good substitutes that'll work for you.
Check out some breweries.
There's a
bunch of different places you can go about this. Okay, so Precision Lawn and Garden. Nathaniel, he said, heard you toward the end of the last live stream last week, and I had to look up the Plymouth Brethren. Okay. So I'll just leave that one right there. Well, this is on the heels of the last one too. So both of them seem to be tracking as to where I was going with that and what it led to. Basically, we have a group of people in the evangelical world that seem to think, and I'm not going to be critical as to where you stand on any of those issues, but since this doctrine was released, the people who were most critical in standing up against the powers that shouldn't be have acquiesced because they think they're going to escape everything. And whether you do or don't, if you do, well, wonderful for all of us. But if you don't, then you are woefully unprepared. And now it's like the excuse for everybody to never do anything.
Right. Yeah. I can't find the question now, but there was a comment in the chat. There was a question in the beginning of the chat asking, what do you do about limited carbon sources for your compost? Like, what do you do about it?
Yeah. Well, what we've done, I mean, you got a lot of sources out there. I mean, newspapers, you can use that.
Yeah. Shredded paper. It doesn't even have to be newspaper.
Yeah, it could be shredded paper. Leaves. I mean, man, those are pretty ubiquitous this time of year. Wood chips, but you want to be sparing on things like wood
wood products because they're super high in carbon. Well, like, and they take forever to break down.
Wood dust.
Sawdust?
Sawdust. Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. But sawdust, you want to be a little bit careful about as well, because in sawdust, it's not going to allow a whole lot of oxygen to get in your pile. So you want to be really, really careful about sawdust.
It can clump up and create like anaerobic spots.
Right. That's exactly. You want aerobic piles. So you want to be real careful about that. Like I said, leaves, man, I really love leaves this time of year. That's a really good place. And in fact, most people, you know, hey, you want to get your fertility and put it in the bags for me? Thank you so much. I'll roll by with my truck and I'll take all you got. And that's exactly what I do.
You may also have to purchase some of it, whether it be like straw or hay or something like that.
Well, we even got some straw precisely for that reason, where we would use it for animal bedding, but also this straw has not been sprayed. So we also use it in our compost piles. So yeah, there's also that as well. All right. Yeah. So John sent me a couple of psalms to listen to, and it was like a YouTube version of it. One of them was like done in a song, and was Psalm 1 or Psalm 2 and Psalm 91. Psalm 2 seems pretty appropriate right now. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?
Yeah.
But remember the end of Psalm 2. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Yeah. Got one from Grizz, not so much a question, but a comical note. I've been listening to you guys so long on the 1.5 speed here on the Fountain app. I didn't realize you guys both talk so slow.
Man, I do the same exact thing. I do the same exact thing where I'm sitting here going through, son, you might have to scroll this thing because there ain't no telling. I'll get us knocked off this thing.
What are you trying to do?
I thought there were comments right here on the channel.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it on my phone, so I'm not blocking the camera or anything like that.
Hey,
if you want to look at it, that's fine.
Well, thanks all y'all for tuning in tonight. We'll get to some of your questions in here as well, but thank you so much. I mean, I know you could be spending your time doing anything, but hopefully this stuff is getting, hopefully it's making sense, and hopefully it's a blessing to you. I truly hope that it is.
Just looking through these comments, looking for questions and stuff. It's awesome how many questions are asked and answered in the comment section.
Oh, that's
like
awesome.
There's a whole community going on while the podcast is going.
Well, I was so thankful for that last time because there was a lady that got on. I don't know what she expected. She said a pimp cast. Well, that's disgusting. And then somebody said, hey, actually several people got in there and said, well, it's an acronym. It stands for Permaculture is My Passion.
Yeah.
And so, hey, thanks all y'all for answering the questions out there because there's only two of us here. And we do this like live radio, so that's typically, we don't have time to edit. We don't have time for any of that stuff, so we got to do this like live radio. I feel sorry for the people that have to go through and edit their podcasts and stuff like that, but that's not how we roll. You know why?
That's the wrong button, Dan.
Tip the pip.
There we go. No show would be complete without my little buddy there.
I got one from George Miller. Who do you recommend to buy a hair sheep from? My neighbor and I want to go in on a ram and 3 or 4 ewes.
Well, it depends on where you live. You can't if you can ever get some from Greg Judy, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people out there. There are some that claim, oh, yeah, you want to be really careful.
The most important thing I would say is buy sheep from people who are raising them the way you want to.
And be careful of the ones that are telling you they're raising them a certain way. Go look at their operation.
Right.
And if they tell you they're raising them a certain way, but you don't see evidence of it, be really cautious.
Otherworld Laster asked if it was the separation of church and state that was removed from the church.
Nope. That wasn't it. That wasn't it. It happened 150 years ago, and it happened at the same time they took out the mental antivirus that all of us need, which is called the Trivium. And then, of course, there's a Quadrivium. That's another thing altogether. When they took that out, something at about the same time was introduced into the church. Into the church in America. It wasn't really ever known of before. And that thing has essentially made the entire evangelical world, not the entire, but at least most of it here in America, to acquiesce because...
And stay unprepared.
Yeah, and to stay unprepared. My parents, some of the worst culprits in this whole thing.
I got a solution from 1 Million Pumpkins. He or she said, we can't get wood chips here. I put cardboard under the rabbit hutches to get charged with urine. That's a good idea. So that might be a good way to get some rabbits. They're easy and cheap to keep, you know, if you're buying feed and stuff. But they produce a lot of urine and poop.
There you go.
Yeah. Just looking for some more questions here, Dad. I think that's about it from the chat. That's all.
Well, if anybody else has anything in the chat, we'll stick around a minute longer. So for anybody that's just getting in right now, I see somebody, Otherworld Laster, if I'm reading that right. Missed the show. Question was from, okay, I'm not sure what that means, but yeah, so we got 1 million pumpkin, Sam, in Arizona. We drove to Missouri to the Judy Ranch for a ram and a livestock guardian dog and made a detour for some American rabbits.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
that's awesome.
Go wherever you must go to go find adequate stock. It'll help. And then even if you get, there's so many examples of people I know where they got marginal stock. Even Greg Judy kind of started out that way, where he had marginal stock, man. They were dying like nobody's business because probably their rumen wasn't developed. But as it, you can build good stock, and you got to cull heavily. That's something you're going to have to do, and that's your mom and I just had a conversation today about how that's going to have to go from here on out, and that's going to be on me. Look, y'all, I love you dearly, but if you ain't making the cut, then in the freezer you got to go. Or, folks, you want to be really careful about that sort of thing. Everybody gets so attached to their animals. Remember, this is also a business. You got to think about it that way. In addition to that, you got to also realize, man, do I want a petting zoo? So if this thing isn't doing what it's supposed to, man, you got to go in the freezer so you can get some really good stock.
Lynn Jasmine said there's a question about a hand pump recommendation. Do you have any hand pump recommendations or anything like that?
For a well?
I'm assuming so.
Yeah, you can get a pitcher pump. I think, in fact, Homesteading Pastor, I think a while back, my oldest brother got one put on his well, but that was a pretty shallow well. And then you have Homesteading Pastor. I think he had one done at his place as well, which is a smart move. Yeah. So I don't know. I haven't personally done those or had any experience with them outside of being around people. I did use that pitcher pump that he had there once back at my brother's place. And it's a good option. I mean, it's a good plan B, but when you have a well that's 650 feet deep, man, I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
But think about your water also, and think about your other water sources. I mean, one little project I'd love to work on too, and I got to be able to manage this stuff a little bit better, is using this compost to create hot water. I got a really good idea on that. Haven't really talked to anybody else about it, but I think I have a really good way to make some really awesome hot water using compost. And that's another thing I want to, I want to actually set that up in the house, but that's going to take some doing. It's going to take some time. It's going to take a bunch of other things.
Otherworld Laster said, what do you do to stop the planes from spraying chemtrails in your skies? Call them on a non-emergency number. There should be a way to slow them down.
Man, don't get me started on that. That's one of the things that kind of gets us blacklisted on YouTube as well, but we still talk about it. It's, you know, it's hard to get anybody to ask any critical questions about anything else when you can't look up there in the sky and realize those are not contrails.
Yeah.
Comes behind the plane, and then all of a sudden over hours, next thing you know, the whole sky is a smoky blue green. And
there was one time Emily and I were in town and we saw the plane, like we saw the trail start. We could still see the plane. We could see where it started, where it came from, saw it like turn off too.
Yeah.
And saw the plane continue on. It's like, oh, the atmosphere is like different right here.
Yeah.
It's and that different little, right here.
I've seen the same thing before and you can't get anybody to even answer. So we, you know, from people like Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch, I mean, there's those documentaries. What in the world are they spraying? Why in the world are they spraying? All the information's out there of what we know is barium salts and aluminum powder and all this other crazy stuff. And you still can't even get anybody to ask any critical questions on that. So, folks, what I really want you to take away in this podcast, you have festivals coming up. I don't know how many more there are going to be. I know everybody's worried to a certain extent. I know everybody is a little bit concerned, not or maybe a lot concerned about the nonsense that's going on in this world and where it may lead. But if you're wanting a three-dimensional way on how to get drummed up on some of these things, that's going to be the way to do it. You know why, y'all? Because we know how to stay alert.
Stay alive. You spitting that man a cotta, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS.